3 years now?
Yeah, at least 3 years.
At least 3 years. It seems like a lot longer. It seems like a lifetime and maybe even past lifetimes that we've known each other. Over the years, we've been acquainted through our mutual second home, which would be Air One Natural Foods, a wonderful market here in Los Angeles. Probably one of the most, I don't know how you describe it, but how did you describe Air One?
Well, it's a great place. I mean, their standards are far superior to the standards that you might see at Whole Foods because they don't allow genetically modified organisms.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the produce is organic, all certified organic. So they're just very, very strict in terms of what they allow into the store.
As far as like an organic natural food market goes, Air One probably stands at the top of the heap, in my opinion. There's very few places like this. They're still similar to Air One, but Air One's kind of, in my opinion, it's in a class of its own, mainly because of the longevity of the operation. I know it's changed a lot over the years, but the location itself, it just attracts an eclectic group of people. And so when you have an eclectic group of people who are in a creative mode, you generally create a vibe around a space that is infectious and inspiring in a lot of ways. And that's what I find at Air One when I'm there. And I think you would agree, right? Do you kind of get that vibe at Air One?
Well, it's definitely a fun place. There's always something fun happening, exciting things happening, and some remarkable customers and remarkable staff. So we have a lot of fun. It's a fun place to work, and it's a fun place to hang out.
And it's noisy. I'm over here by the juice bar, and you can hear those blenders going, and it's interfering with the call. So I'm going to step outside, and hopefully we won't hear any Los Angeles traffic competing with our conversation. So let me step out here. It's a little bit quieter. Ah, much better. The sun is shining here in West Hollywood, and it's a beautiful day. So, Wimsy, tell our audience a little bit about your background. I know you're a naturopath. You have been for many years. Can you give me the story of your evolution, how you came to this and chose this as a profession?
Yeah, I've always really been interested in natural medicine, natural health, healing. So I just decided that I would pursue a career in natural medicine. I did my pre-med at the University of Washington, and my major was anthropology. My focus, my interest has been medical anthropology, looking at how our ancestry can determine the best diet. That's basically my background. And then my doctoral degree, I went to the National College of Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon, which is a medical school. It's a very unusual medical school. There are 5 recognized medical schools in the United States that grant the doctorate in naturopathic medicine. And we have to go through the same curriculum as an MD degree, with the exception that we are looking at the cause. We're treating the cause of disease, and we're trying to do it in as natural and as non-invasive a way as possible, because one of the principles of naturopathic medicine is to really try and encourage the body to heal itself. We do that with the assistance of the body, of course, but with herbs, with vitamins, supplements, lifestyle changes, diet, some naturopaths like homeopathy. So we have a a pretty varied toolkit. Sometimes physical therapies as well, massage, energy medicine. I do a lot of energy medicine in my office. I'm also a shiatsu practitioner. So every naturopath has their own specialty.
Mm-hmm. So you draw from a variety of modalities for healing based on the individual need. And but you, it sounds to me like you have like a varied toolbox to draw from to help diagnose or whatever and treat.
Yeah.
Who are looking to heal themselves or to maintain health in a holistic way.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm always learning, which I think is really important for a physician. I'm always learning about what the latest, the best ways to help my patients achieve health. I'm always checking in to make sure that the protocol is helpful. And I treat all kinds of things. I have a lot that's interested in bioidentical hormones. I work a lot with both men and women that are trying to achieve hormone balance using natural remedies like herbs, like bioidenticals. I have a large group of people that come in for fatigue, exhaustion, overwork, large population that just wants to experience optimal health, slow down the aging process. It's very, very popular in Los Angeles, particularly with my actors. They're very, very good about taking care of themselves. The overall health, depression, anxiety, see a lot of that in my office. Addiction studies, doing a lot with people in recovery from alcoholism and addiction.
Yeah, well, we're in Hollywood, we're in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of, like you mentioned, the actors and in the film industry, and we know that Hollywood is kind of a young person's game. So the older you get, you kind of get marginalized. So people want to preserve that youthful vigor as long as they possibly can. It's actually part of a career longevity. So it is very popular in this area. And then you mentioned addiction as well. So we all know that there's a lot of vices available to us in a place like Los Angeles. Once they reach a point where they're ready to move into a healthier lifestyle, you're the person, one of the first people that come to mind, because this place, we mentioned Erewhon, is kind of a meeting point for a lot of creative people, so you're in a really great high profile position to really help people and to really apply your expertise, which you described as being too varied and actually quite interesting. So I wanted to go back a little bit. You had mentioned your studies when you were in school, that you studied medicine anthropology or anthropology.
Medical anthropology, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big part of my background.
So you're actually an expert in the history of medicine from our earliest civilizations or even pre-civilization, prehistoric medicines. And that ties very well into my work with honeybees and bee products, because those products are actually known as our earliest medicines as well, like the royal jelly and the propolis and even the venom being used in Chinese acupuncture.
Right, and it's the base for a lot of pretty much every medicinal salve I ever made when I was in medical school. We used a base of the wax of the bee. The beeswax, right. You can't make a naturopathic medical salve without beeswax.
Right.
It was used very, very early on just for the making of salves and ointments.
Yeah. So very fascinating. It fits really nicely. Your area of expertise fits very nicely into my work with honeybees, especially in the idea of our earliest medicines coming from honeybees, emphasizing and underscoring our reliance on honeybees, not only as a food source, or they pollinate our large portion of our food, but they have influence. They have been a huge influence on the survival of humans through the course of history, which obviously has led us to this present moment, the modern world that we live in. It's kind of interesting because we live in this modern world. We have all of this technology available to us. There's probably never been a more exciting time to live on this planet with all of these amazing technical breakthroughs. But at the same time, we're watching our health decline in a lot of ways. I mean, people are living longer, but we're also seeing an increase in cancers. We're seeing an increase in degenerative diseases. Some people attribute that to the systematic toxicity that we experience just as a result of living in the modern world.
I mean, I'm glad I know about your work. We've talked a little bit about your work with honeybees and trying to save the bees, which I think is really noble. It's been said more than once that how go the bees, go the rest of us. So if we can't save the bees, we won't be able to save ourselves. They're really kind of, what's happening to the bees right now is really an indication of what's happening to all of us, in the sense of just, we're living in a toxic planet, too many pesticides, too many stresses. They can't survive, and if they can't survive, we can't survive.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really glad that there are people like you doing what you're doing to try and educate the public and save the bees, because it's just so vital to our planet's survival and to our survival.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do agree. I totally agree.
Well, I want to take you back a little bit, if you will, with a walk down memory lane, if you would, with me. Let's go back a few years ago. It's the summer of 2012. I just started the bee pollen business, and I was, you know, getting my legs, so to speak. Approached Air One, and I was embraced by the buyers there. They asked me to come in and demo the product as much as possible in early going. This was about the summer of 2012, and you were on the floor as the resident naturopath, and that's really where we met. Can you kind of go back, and if you could with me, just humor me a little bit and talk about your recollection of how this whole thing got started, to your memory? I don't know if you even remember that far back.
I remember that I had heard a little bit about what was going on with bees, and I had read a few articles, and that was why I got interested in what you were doing, in terms of trying to promote beekeepers that were environmentally aware and working to preserve the colonies. And just the ethics of behind a lot of what you were trying to do with your company really impressed me. And so I think that was one of our first conversations on the floor when mm-hmm. we started to talk about the problems with what was going on with the bees and your work. So that was kind of my first memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also remember that your product was the best. You don't pay me to say that.
No.
You don't pay me to say that. Just in terms of taste and quality and texture. Again, you don't pay me for this.
Right, exactly.
My customers just really love your product. So it's very easy to sell.
Thank you. And it's been a great pleasure to spend time on the floor at Air One and demo the product. See, basically, for my listeners out there, I set up a little table with little cups, and I put just a little sample of the pollen in there, and I make it available to everybody who walks by. And generally, what I discovered early on was that, you know, the vast majority of people had no knowledge or no experience with bee pollen. It was something completely foreign to them. It really gave me this opportunity to be able to educate people on the product.
And fight the good fight. That's what, you know, you're out there fighting the good fight. You got a good product, and you're doing good work in the world. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a great rewarding experience on many levels, and so I've been happy to pretty much devote my life to this, and it's been a great honor, and it's been fun. But I don't want to have the focus on me. I'm more interested in what you witnessed as people's reaction, because when I'm not there, they come to you and ask questions about the pollen. And most people, do people talk to you about health benefits that they've received from consumption of bee pollen?
A lot of people are taking your pollen for allergies and those kinds of reactions that we're seeing, particularly in the summertime. So that's the main health benefit that they're getting from the product is
mm-hmm.
regarding allergies. And a lot of people are putting it in their smoothies every morning. Some people are just putting it in their palm and eating a teaspoon
right.
every morning. But I would say the majority of the people I talk to it's incorporated into their daily life with a smoothie every morning. So they're getting a good plant-based smoothie, and then they're putting in the bee pollen. And
mm-hmm.
it seems to ameliorate a lot of the symptoms from the local pollens. They're getting this exposure through the bee pollen, and then they're less sensitive to pollens, and they're having less symptoms of allergies.
Right.
That's what people are coming back and saying. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
they like the taste. The texture is not hard. It's a nice texture. It's easy to use. People are also mm-hmm. doing other fun things with it. They're putting it in their breakfast cereal. people are asking me about baking. I think that's more a question for you. I don't know if you can put it in your cookies or whatnot. I didn't really have an answer for that. I think it would probably not be a good idea to do that.
Exposure to heat, it's so complex. You know, it's microscopic and there's a lot of nutrition there, and there's a lot of compounds there as far as amino acids and enzymes and minerals and vitamins. And and when you apply heat to that, just with any kind of food, you're destroying a lot of that integrity. So I don't recommend it. A lot of people have asked me, can I put it in tea and that type of thing? I said, you could. I would let the tea cool first, so you're not exposing it to, you know, boiling temperatures or whatever. But generally with bee products, I would not expose them to heat, just because there is a chemical composition there that you want to preserve, because that structure is designed, you know, to interact with your body at the microscopic, the cellular level. If you maintain those, you know, those chemical structures, say for example like a crystalline structure, if you apply that to heat, you destroy that and you lose it. Well, that crystalline structure has information. It's a key, like a key or a lock, a key in a lock kind of thing, where your body recognizes those as signals, the effect of the food. And this is true with any food. That's why the raw food movement is so popular, is because the recognition that avoiding heat, avoiding cooking, preserves some of the natural structure and integrity that your body responds to. Am I catching that correctly?
Well, there are a lot of benefits to eating raw, and it's actually a really complicated subject, because not everybody has the best digestion in the world. So how much raw I give a person is dependent upon all kinds of factors. But, you know, if they have good dental care, if they're an older person and they have poor teeth and they have trouble chewing, then we have to come up with creative ways to maximize how many raw fruits and vegetables they're having that they may not be able to chew, so we might use the blended blending thing. So, but yeah, the more raw, the better. Certainly for antioxidants and the bioavailability of certain nutrients, which I think is what you were going for. Mm-hmm. I also have been seeing the benefits that I don't think you've talked about, but I'm just going to give you this feedback, and I'm glad we brought it up, because I've heard this from probably three separate people that I've just been talking about your product, is they say that it helps with depression. And I'm not quite sure why that would be. Mm-hmm. If there's just some micronutrient there that seems to be having an effect on brain health. But a lot of people say that when they have the smoothie and they add the product, that they just seem to be lighter and happier, and it just brings sunshine, you know, like just brightens their day. So there seems to be some emotional benefits that I hadn't been trained in that, but that was just feedback I was going to give you from customers that they're saying that it lightens their mood. They just be happier on the product.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, that's how I got into this in the first place, was hitting a midlife crisis that was creating some depression in my life. And when I approached bee pollen or started using bee pollen again after a long hiatus, I recognized immediately that it was elevating my mood. It was helping me with dealing with those emotional issues. And that is what prompted me to actually go into deeper research into the product, just because of the effects that I was having on it. And once I discovered that, and I would talk to people about it and realize that very few people could even understand what I was saying. They weren't even aware of what bee pollen was. I really saw it as an opportunity, not just to start a business, but there was like a blind spot in society in where people were not able to see the benefits of these products. Somehow they've been misplaced or forgotten about, and I saw it as my calling or my duty to make these things available and help create an awareness around them. But as far as brain chemistry goes, I think when you're looking at microscopic nutrients in their natural state, their fundamental state, for instance enzymes, I'm thinking more like amino acids, and all 22 amino acids are present in bee pollen. When you have that in your bloodstream and it's in it, and that's circulating around through your body, and your cells are picking up on those trace nutrients, it creates a balance. It brings your body back into balance. And when your brain chemistry is in balance, you alleviate what could be seen as depression. You know what I'm saying? But some of those depressions, I mean, I think medical science has figured out that a lot of depression comes from chemicals imbalances. That's what, you know, the medication is based on. And I don't want to claim that bee pollen is a medication, even though in our earliest history it was. But today, you can't really mention that. But it does have some therapeutic
purpose. Well, what we can say is that we're getting feedback from people saying that it just seems to be enhancing their mood, which I think is really great. I mean, it's just something to just, you know, shelve in the back of our brains and go, huh, you know, we kind of take a look at that. And maybe there's been some studies. I'm not familiar with any studies, but mm-hmm. It's just something that I wanted to let you know that, and then it's interesting that you came and gave me that feedback as well, that you don't advertise that, but that's what people have been saying.
Yeah. Well, bee pollen, like your approach to medicine, it's holistic. There's such a wide variety of benefits that you can get from it that it's hard to really pinpoint, because it is based, a lot of it is very subjective, and it's based on the individual's chemical makeup, because it's kind of like the term adaptogen. I'm not a medical professional, but an adaptogen is something that you would take and we kind of adapt to the individual body and to kind of help, like, go where the need is, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, adaptogen balances adrenal function, so you have optimal mm-hmm. adrenal function. And
right.
What the adrenal glands do is that they produce hormones. I mean, they do a few things, but one of the things that they do is they produce hormones like adrenaline. And so when you have burnout, they also produce cortisol. When you have burnout, you don't have any more adrenaline. Your cortisol can either be high or low, depending upon the type of adrenal fatigue you have.
Right.
What an adaptogen does is it helps heal the adrenals and helps optimize adrenal function. That's
kind of
really
restore the production or the supply of or the ability
yeah.
to produce. And when you live in a stressful environment, like, you know, you have a high stressed career, or you have some kind of you know, relationship issues where it's causing stress or emotional distress on you, you drain those levels, and it can very easily get caught up in this fatigue, or where you've drained yourself of this. But an adaptogen is something that helps restore the balance of the body. Those hormonal levels, which are, as a doctor, you and I both know, especially at our age, that the hormone levels, the way they drop off after, you know, after age 40, it becomes very, very clear to you how important it is to have the correct balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a website, you do a blog, you're very active. I've done a Google search on you, and you do come up.
Oh, yeah.
You do come up at the top of the list when you look at the list together in West Hollywood and Beverly Hills. You're at the top of the list, and it's mainly because of your activity out there, not only at Air One, but you produce a blog on a weekly basis. Or how does that work?
I do. Yes. Thanks for asking. I do a weekly blog on drwimsey.com, and I see patients privately at my offices in West Hollywood at Melrose. It's my address is 8281 Melrose Avenue, Suite 201, West Hollywood, for people that want to come see me privately. And I try to get a blog in about once a week, and I focus on issues like emotional healing, addiction, optimal health, those sorts of things that we talked about earlier. And
right.
It's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy writing, and I try to, at least once a week, if I can, I try to put in two blogs a week. So that's actually
awesome.
That was actually what I was doing when you called. I was working on a blog.
Oh, fantastic! Well, we'll have to exchange links on my website and my podcast as well. I put a link to whimsyanderson.com, and you can hopefully put one to my website and this podcast. Because
that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. Some good synergy happening. But I understand how you feel. You do your job, and then you think about it, and you're passionate about it, so you want to express yourself in another way through media. And you know, we have these beautiful tools available to us to do that: blogs and the podcasts, and you know, just social media, that type of thing. So that I'm in the same vein with you. When I'm at the end of the day, when I'm done selling beef pollen, I like to produce a podcast so I can talk about it even more and reach a larger audience. So that's why I do the Best Vibrance, and I'm happy to have you on here and help promote your blog as well.
No, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd love more visitors. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah, more and more people are becoming more health conscious all the time. Just in the last 5 years, and I think you probably noticed it too, just from your vantage point, that we're seeing this, in my opinion, just a revolution happening out there with awareness on the importance of foods. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. It seems obvious, but in our society, we're bombarded with messages that are contrary. You know, I mean, a lot of the foods that we see in your average grocery store are really void of nutrition, and you see people becoming more interested in the natural foods, and that's why stores like Air One are very popular. And you can come in there any day of the week and see just large crowds of people shopping, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. Would you agree with that? I mean, have you seen kind of this grassroots kind of groundswell of awareness around natural foods and eating healthy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it used to be popular not too long ago, particularly in the Hollywood crowd, where it was about fast living and doing drugs and whatnot. And now a lot of those celebrities who did that in the 80s and 90s mm-hmm. are customers of Air One, and they're the biggest advocates of eating right and living a balanced lifestyle. And I just think that's great. I mean, I know some of those people, and I'm friends of some of those people I've gotten mm-hmm. an opportunity to meet at Air One.
That's cool.
And they're truly walking the walk. They're very, very disciplined, and they won't bring anything in their home that isn't a natural product, and they won't put anything in their body that isn't organic. And I just, it's amazing to see just how that whole attitude has changed, and people are really interested in just taking care of themselves and taking care of the planet. And I just think that's great. It's really changed.
Yeah, we're at the beginning or the cusp of a revolution in mind and spirit, and it seems to me that where we are, we're kind of like, I don't want to say it's the epicenter or anything like that, but it is definitely a driving force in the raising of consciousness. Just the area that we live in, you just see so many people who are into yoga, they're into natural healing, they're into these more advanced healing modalities. It's fascinating. And it's inspiring to see. Yeah, I wanted to. You had mentioned, celebrities, and I know we're not going to drop any names here, but it's
we don't do that.
But there was one day I have to tell this story, and I've told it on the podcast before. But there was a day when Ringo Starr came in, and he bought beef pollen, and I was like absolutely floored, and I was I was stunned. I was like, wow, that's my childhood idol, you know.
And Ringo. This Mr. Starr has been very public about his own battle with addiction and alcoholism. And
exactly.
He's not only in recovery, but he and his wife run a recovery program. And
wow.
So he's been very proactive in terms of health and the importance of self-care. So I think he would be a good example of that, of somebody who really has turned the corner in his life and is not only taking care of himself and being responsible and walking the walk, but he's helping other people do that.
That's
as
great.
Well. I have a great deal of respect for him, actually.
Yeah, I do too. I always have. And he's a classic example of the type of person that you're talking about who really turned it around from that kind of hedonistic party mentality to recognizing the importance of basically a lifestyle change and being conscious of your food that your intake in order to maintain health. Because, you know, we're all getting older. Time doesn't wait for anybody. You have to be proactive in maintaining your health. It's actually critical.
Well, I think it's good that people are continuing to ask questions. I think that we continue to have the conversation and to continue to share what we learn and to be generous with what we learn. And I think that that's, you know, that's what feeds my soul. That's why I'm a doctor. I love helping people. I became a doctor because the thing that feeds my soul is the ability to help other people. And that realization, and I think that's something else that I wanted to say, has really, thank goodness, it's turned the corner, is that we're starting to realize that it's not all about me. And just talking, we had talked about Ringo Starr, who uses your product, and he's also very much a committed vegetarian as well. And I just think it's great that people are moving towards a realization of our interconnectedness.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, and it goes back to the conversation we were having about the bees and just how everything is interconnected and that we are not an island and that our individual choices have a far greater impact on the planet than we realize, and that we are powerful. And with that, we are responsible for ourselves and for one another, and that we really are getting it. Human beings really are getting it. And when we eat right and when we take care of ourselves, it really does make a difference. And it isn't just helping us. It's helping all of us. Every time we make the choice to care for ourselves and be more loving to ourselves and feed ourselves properly and do good by ourselves, we, in loving ways, in supportive ways, we really are helping the planet, and it does reverberate outward, and it is a positive thing. So I think that's kind of where I would go with it.
Small actions accumulate when they're done in mass scale, accumulate into large movements. So, you know, with seemingly insignificant ideas and thoughts and actions, when done on a collective scale, are actually very, very powerful, and they move mountains and actually change cultures. So we're in that stage right now. Everybody can feel it, hopefully. But
if everybody cared about the bees the way you do, we wouldn't have a bee problem. You know, we wouldn't be where we're at right now, where the bees are, you know, the fear that the bees are going to go extinct if we don't get with the program, go organic, stop with the pesticide spraying and with really poisoning our planet and poisoning ourselves. And so, yeah, the more of us that make those choices, the better for the planet overall. Absolutely.
Right. And simple things you can do is to help bees is as simple as it gets. Plant some flowers that are friendly to bees, that bees are attracted to. There's plenty of very common plants that we used to think of as weeds are actually very beneficial to bees. For example, dandelions, like the little yellow flowers that grow on, you know, the spurge. What's the word I'm thinking of every suburban landscape? You know, having the dandelions, but those are actually very important food for bees because it's supposed to be readily available to them. And when they're not there because we've eradicated it, that's one of the reasons why we see the weakness, just because their natural instinct is to go towards plants that we've determined or we've deemed undesirable. Things that we can do that, like I said, on a massive scale have huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of that thought got a little jumbled, but I could probably edit that into something that makes cohesive sense.
I think you're good. I think you got it figured out. I think you and I together are gonna lead the rest. But Ringo's gonna play the music, so that would be
that'd be awesome. Yeah, we'll get the band together.
I will follow him anywhere.
Well, I know that I have for the last 40 years, so I'll continue to do so. Ringo Starr is one of my heroes, along with the other Beatles. The death of John Lennon, it was a huge impact in my life, a turning point in my life, actually. I was 14 years old and became a huge Beatles fanatic after that. It lasted me into my 30s. And not that it ever went away, but I just stopped being a total fanatic in my 30s. But yeah, hugely influential. As well as your work at Erewhon, hugely influential. We're all contributing to the betterment of the planet and to the raising the consciousness of the human race so that, you know, we can go into a future that we choose for ourselves, that we have control over, and that provides for everybody. And I mean on an emotional and physical and all levels of existence. You know, we're at the early stages of that revolution, and it's wonderful to see it unfold and to be part of it. And I urge everybody who's listening to this to tune into that and try and be a part of it if you're not already.
Well said.
Okay, well, I don't want to take up your day. I'm sure you've got a lot of things to do and some clients to help out. So, Whimsy, I'm gonna let you go, but I want to thank you very much. You've been a great friend over the last three years, very supportive. And,
oh yeah.
And I value every moment that I get to spend with you here at Erewhon and beyond. So, you're a good friend, and I look forward to continuing a beautiful friendship with you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling, and I will speak again soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay, take care, Stephen. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, there goes Whimsy, one of my good friends and a fantastic naturopathic healer in the Los Angeles area. You can find her at drwhimsy.com. You can see her blog, and she puts out a great energy to everybody, to the world, and with her work. So, with that, I'm going to sign off, and we're going to edit this down into a show. Thank you for listening, and we're over and out.
Power, 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 power